right, cool.
All right, man. Before we ever start off, you know, start off on all of this, let's go ahead and how you guys feeling today? How's your mental health? How are you everything doing?
I'm copacetic, bro. Copacetic.
That's Chad.
I'm doing pretty good. You know, I'd say the last couple weeks have been pretty tough, just trying to decipher and digest everything that's been going on. But the last 2 weeks, you know, I can say that honestly, I'm in a much better place. Just processing things differently, more on a spiritual level. So it's put me in a, it's got me in a pretty good place right now. So,
hey Sam, I feel that. I feel that. Sanjay, how you feeling today?
I'm doing good. I think the last couple of weeks have been a little bit stressful. There's like a lot of stuff going on with work, just the stuff going around, I guess, across the world. But I don't know. I think I feel like I have a positive feeling about where we're heading towards. I feel like Shad was talking about the change. I can see the change that's happening slowly, which is a good thing.
Man, but
definitely, I feel it.
Yeah.
For me, I feel I'm of course still a little. I'm gonna be stressed regardless. You know what I'm saying? Just cause, I mean, we this is a weird time, bro. This is something I've never experienced in my life, past of like a few situations, but like for once, I feel like. A little bit the protesting and all that stuff and the rioting, it was for a good cause. Like, I saw a lot of people saying like the rioting, like what is that going to accomplish? And even some of our own like black, quote unquote celebrities and influencers were saying like, what is this going to do? And it was like, yo, you got to think about it. Like for years, like Martin Luther King killed. Peaceful protest. Selma Bridge, peaceful protest. Beat the shit out of our people. You know what I'm saying? The newest thing would be peaceful would be Charlottesville. They were peaceful protesting the violent protesters that were running around talking about, you know, with tiki torches. We were peaceful and they were violent. People got ran over, you know what I'm saying? Kaepernick took a knee peacefully. Stand up, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Like, it's stuff like that. And so, it's like, for me, I don't want to seem like I have become more elitist. Not elitist, but like radical. But I've really felt like, fuck them businesses. You know what I'm saying? Pardon my French. But I really felt like, you know, the looting, because we've been doing it peacefully for years, you know, and I hate to say that, you know what I'm saying, but go ahead.
No, I think, man, DC, to your point, man, the fuck the businesses part, I disagree with that part, because I feel like, because the anger is directed at the wrong things, because you got to say a lot of those business owners are probably like, those could have been black-owned businesses.
Yeah.
Yeah, people who are trying to make like an honest living, like who stores got like looted. And to be honest, man, if you're like owning a mom and pop shop and that happens, you know, there's a chance that you may not open that store for like several years or months.
Because I agree. You're right. So, I should have said
that. I understand why the rioting's happening, because a famous quote by Martin Luther King is rioting is the voice of the unheard. So to your point, DC, I think the rioting is happening is because we've gone unheard for so long and nobody's listening. So it's a lot of energy that's being asserted into that, and it's not the correct way to do things.
Yeah.
Look, hold on. Then what is the correct way to do things? Because we hear all the time, we protest peacefully. We take the we walk across bridges, and what do they do to us?
I think you do like, protest you protest like big corporations or people that support certain ideas or racist, you know, that form of belief, you know, hurt, you know, if, when their pocketbooks get hurt, you know, it, you know, then they hear you, you know, like a lot of, and even small business, like I've seen like where like you would have like a contractor come in over work and like they had like a Confederate flag, you know, some of the minority people, you know, like some of the black people, like get the fuck out of here, you know, you're not getting my business. So
yeah, I feel that.
I mean, you can do that. I think
I'm still
not like destroy their shit, but like, hey, you're not getting my money, you know.
I'm not saying like so. Maybe I shouldn't have said fucking businesses. I wasn't saying it
in their pocketbooks.
I wasn't saying it on a like, let's go out and purposely go get the businesses. I was saying that if your business got looted in between, unfortunately, it was collateral damage to the situation. And the situation at hand was, for years and years, we've done peacefully, done right, righteously, the right thing, in my eyes, as a black man.
And you know what? And if you have a business, you should probably have insurance, too.
Yeah.
I mean, sure, that's not going to happen with a lot of mom-and-pop stores. A lot of those mom-and-pop stores, they just functioning like they're day-to-day. Like they don't have enough capital to bring in to have that insurance on there, to have that overhead.
They're not making
money like that.
I mean, if you're like those areas and stuff I've seen, in order for you to rent those tenant space, you got to – in order to have a business just to be, you know, I think you got to have like general liability and some of these basic insurance, you know. I understand if you're just like a little hot dog stand outside, but a lot of these businesses have insurance and they're probably covered.
Yeah.
Then that brings the question, then why are we discussing it then as a topic if that's the case? Because
it's the narrative. It's the narrative, right?
Been like, I hadn't had no insurance. Like, this is all I had. I worked for this. I blah, 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 blah. quote-unquote. Like, that's what they are saying. These are actual people that are having to have their business rioted in the last few weeks and saying they don't have insurance and stuff like that. So, like, I still don't get it, but, like, I just want to bring this back to the thing, like, what is the right way to protest and what is the wrong way to protest? Because I have quite a bit of emotional attachment to that, like just anger to that, being told that we walk the streets, we do all this stuff peacefully, and we still are attacked. Like nothing is never came from us being peaceful. Like we get some change done, but like the rap, we get brought through peace.
And the one thing I will say,
brought through radical change.
Yeah, the one thing I will say that I've noticed that, unfortunately, you know, although the looting and, you know, the aggressive way happened, a lot of things came from it. They arrested, you know, all four of those cops, which, in my opinion, should have happened immediately. But I also know that, you know, it's not going to happen how we want it to happen. In North Carolina, I know for a fact that coming from this whole movement in this time in North Carolina, hold on 1 second.
Dude, I was gonna say
coming from North Carolina, like they're now doing if you felt like your case was racially biased and you're on death row and they're giving death row inmates a chance to prove that their case was racially biased. Where and for some people, that's not a big thing. Even if they get it downgraded to, you know, life in prison, that's saving their life. You know what I'm saying? Imagine being going up on fucking trial. And, you know, you're supposed to get jury of peers, and no one is your color. So no one's going to even look at it, you know. And that verdict came back 45 minutes, quick, flipped around, you know what I'm saying, automatically. So, I think that a lot of changes came from it. But it also has shown, I mean, I don't know if y'all have seen, there's a video that's going around, and maybe I can do a screen share and we can look over it. There's a video going around where, here, let's see if I can show it. There's a video going around where a lot of cops, there was a bunch of cops, and they're just being aggressive.
That's the stuff I'm talking about. Like, those people weren't doing anything before that, and the cops were being aggressive. Like, how can we peacefully protest? But, like, you go, but they have these alt-right rallies and crap out here, and they don't do nothing to them. White folks storm the capital of Michigan. Ain't nothing with weapons. Nothing. Not no riot gas. They didn't have on masks. They had on no gear at all. Just saying, hey, you got the peaceful right to assemble. Just guys, calm down. We don't get none of that.
You know, look, I think what this thing,
we don't get that.
I think what this thing is showing is that, or it's kind of exposing all the bad cops or stuff in the system. And I think, I don't know exactly what it was, but like in 2006, or I think there was like a report by the FBI where they were saying that white or super race, you know, what do you call the people? White supremacists? No, white supremacists. That they were infiltrating local police departments and stuff like that. And that was like back in 2006. So, you know, it's like, if you think about America and the history, you know, it's like a systematic approach, you know, where how racism is kind of implemented and, you know, kind of comes through. So I feel like, you know, it's deep in, inside a lot of areas and community, you know, local, mostly local, you know, the local level, county levels. And the only way to change it is like you got to have significant policy change. And the only way to do that is like you got to have super majority control where, you know, you can pass the laws, you know, somebody can't veto it, you know, you don't got to worry about the other party or negotiate, you know, where their backers are, you know, giving them, you know, where they have police have certain immunities. I forgot what it is, but you know, they can't get sued. They have a lot of, you know, protections in a way.
Well, yeah.
So if you take some of those things away and make them accountable, then, you know, it's just like professional. Like if you're a doctor or a lawyer, you know, they have a thing called standard of care, right? You know, you got to be held to.
Or an architect.
Oh, yeah, architect. You know, it's called, you know, you got a protection of general health care, welfare, life, and safety, you know. So if you neglect or if you're negligent, you know, you're liable and you get sued or, you know, they come after you.
Same thing, engineering. Yeah, I definitely agree with that. But here's the thing, though. We're a small minority in the United States. How do we go by changing this? By changing it, do we just flat out start over? Do we put in more sanctions that don't seem to be working as they are? But I am gonna say this: I saw or read somewhere the Democrats were introducing a bill that was supposed to like demilitarize the. Am I saying that right?
Whatever. Yeah, the police.
The police and
make, you know, they get like a lot of the surplus from the Pentagon. Isn't that true, Shad? Sorry,
huh?
Don't they get like a lot of the leftover equipment from the military? And
I'm not real knowledgeable on that, so I don't say I don't know, but they got a lot of military stuff from my point of view that I don't think they need.
So what happened was in 1994, under the Clinton era, there was a bill that was passed by the Senate, that was introduced, passed by the Senate, the Congress, and the President that allowed our police to become more militarized. So what happened was what you saw then was a change of guard from, I guess, standard policing to more militarized policing where their ammo changed, the vehicles changed, so they started being more, you start seeing more undercover cars roaming the streets during that era. So you got to think, these were policies that were set in place by our own Congress and elected and approved by all of our generally elected officials, approved generally by our elected officials during that time. So that wasn't something that they just kind of won off saying, hey, we got extra equipment from, you know, our military. We can pass down to police officers. That was something that our elected officials chose to do under their own power.
But you know, well, you know why they did? Because there was a huge influence by the NRA. You know, if you think about it, NRA was a huge, you know, I mean, now it has lost a lot of power, but, you know, it's a huge lobbying firm, you know, and, you know, they sell, like, a lot of, you know, military gun ammo, you know, a lot, you know, they basically sell every fucking gun in America, and they're always pushing for, you know, ways to sell guns, and it's another thing with just America. It's just the thing, I guess, fascination with America, the way America's brought up, you know, the ability of, you know, you being armed, the whole idea of, you know, you have the right to bear arms, you know, being able to, you know, I guess, fight your government, or I don't know. But there's like a kind of fascination, you know, if you think about it in American society, where the military is like held in this way in other culture, like in sports now, you know, it was kind of introduced to football, you know, like the anthem, I guess, for recruitment in a way. I think it was like more of propaganda, I guess, using.
It was propaganda. Remember that they paid, the military paid the NFL quite a bit of money for that, and to pull soldiers out of the field,
but,
to boost morale.
But there's a certain segment of population that, you know, wants that and supports that idea of militaristic, you know.
I don't know. I'm going to say they don't, because, like, the one thing I kept hearing from my majority of white friends, and I don't know if they were picking or they were doggone serious, was about, I don't know if y'all had friends that were mentioning this stuff, but they were like, oh, the you know, when they put in the stay-at-home stuff, and they were talking about martial law. They were like, not for nothing.
Hell yeah.
They were worried about martial law and, oh, they're not going to take my guns. Like, there's a fascination with Americans, and I think especially with our brother and white folks, that this martial law, that the government's going to take everything that they have, like, it's just a notion for them that it's repeated over and over and over again.
Literally, like, I was talking to a man yesterday who was saying about how he has went and got 36 clips for his AR because he's not going to let nobody take his gun.
But you see the irony, like, those same people, like, they're not standing up to the government right now that's kind of oppressing and taking away people, right? You know, peaceful protest is like, you know, First Amendment. It's before the Second Amendment, you know. You have the Second Amendment to protect kind of your rights in a way, right? Yeah, yes. You know. But the thing is, it kind of shows what they really want is they want a certain idea, which is kind of, you know, racism. I think, you know, they've been ingrained, you know, so many generations and Fox News and, you know, it's been just like systematic. You know, I keep on saying the word systematic, but that's like a fucking true thing, you know. People been brainwashed.
Oh, it is. I mean, I hate to say that. A lot of people have been brainwashed. It is systematic, man. Let me tell you, like, a few things that need to change. Have any of y'all ever been arrested?
Yes.
All right, so 3 out of 4. That's crazy. 3 out of 4
people. That's actually the statistic. Is this what was it? Is it three out of every four black men would be arrested or something like that?
1 out of 4.
Sam,
you got arrested?
Okay, so prime example. You know, one of the biggest things people get arrested for in America is resisting arrest.
Really? What is that? Like, I mean,
resisting arrest, it used to be a law. Resisting arrest used to be an add-on charge that they used to add on, but they're now using it as a 100% charge to arrest people. So
justification.
Yeah. So, but the thing is, like, you, if you go read the definition of resisting arrest, based on state by state, it kind of varies, but mostly it is like, if I'm going to arrest you and I have a warrant and I'm arresting you and you fight me, I'm giving you a resisting arrest. But you cannot make that the main charge of someone.
Yeah.
And and a lot of times that is the main charge for a lot of people. It starts there. We need, for one, for one, I think in schools they need to do a better job of maybe a class, maybe ethics class, maybe something that lets you know what your rights are. Instead of just, you know, going through the amendments when you're in history class. All right? That way you know what your rights are. That way you know what you can and cannot do. Then you need more police training. I think the police military police academy is like 7 weeks max. How long, Chad? When you joined the military, how long was your
mine? 10 weeks.
10 weeks.
But then you still had to do training, right? You had to go work.
Then you go and do training once a month, right? Yeah. I think something like that would be more beneficial. And of course, like if you go look and see your freaking.
But that's not all we get trained on too, because we get ethics training, we get like start training, harassment training. You'll get all that training. You'll see a lot of that stuff.
I mean, police need that too, though.
Yeah, but
in 35 states, you can rape a woman and deny that you did it as a police officer, and it will not. And you can be, you know, you're good. So you can abuse your power. Of the doubt. Huh?
They're kind of giving benefit of the doubt all the time. You know, they're always giving.
No, it's not even that. A cop can say it was 100% consensual, and then it gets thrown away.
That's what I'm saying. It always gives cops the benefit of the doubt. The law is written in a way that it gives a lot of leniency to the law, right? It's very vague.
Hey, you know what? And there's another thing I'm going to throw on. You know, we were talking about, like, just resisting arrest is kind of the main charge. And they had this other policy called frisk, you know.
Stop and frisk
or whatever. But, you know, this whole thing about systematic thing, it's like, you know, a lot of prisons are, you know, private, you know, the whole idea of, you know, it's like two goals, you know, you take the votes away or, you know, suppress minorities because, you know, once you're a felon, hard to get a job, you can't vote, you can't do a lot of shit, you know, so you're setting back the society, the family, then you got cheap labor, you know, you're making somebody else richer, you know, the old, good old boy who has in contacts within the government that gets the contracts. So the thing about Florida, okay, you know, in Florida, they passed an amendment where people who had, like, you know, a lot of the federal, you know, like, rep on their, you know, they went to jail or whatever, you know, they have it on the record, you know, they got erased, you know, and they can vote again, you know. So soon after that, you know, that was like a constitutional thing. So, you know, that was like voted by the people, you know, like super majority. You got to have like 60 or 70% to do that. So, okay, that happened, that passed. So, you know, that happened, but then, you know, GOP, they still had power. Right after that, you know, what they do? Pass a law? People, you know, they can't vote until they pay back their fines or stuff. So, you know, so it's another way for them to control, you know, it's like, ah, yeah, you think you got your vote, but, you know, here's another thing, you know, you really can't vote. You know, I mean, Corton got struck down, but you see the schemes and the things they go to.
Yeah, it's really crazy. This went from an intro to an automatic in jumping in. Yeah, Sam, you were about to say something.
Yeah. Man, you know what, Chad? You asked a really good question, and you know, I've kind of listened to everybody chime in and say their piece. You know, I definitely want to come in and be able to answer the question directly. So I'm going to come at you guys with a couple of points here. Chad, the question you asked, Chad, was can peaceful protests bring about change? And I would argue that yes, it can. One thing that we have to continue to do is to continue peaceful protesting and stop the looting. One thing we have to really emphasize besides protesting, the next step. Protesting is just one step, but we have to continue our efforts and we have to start hitting the voting booths. That's really important. And once we start hitting these voting booths, we also not only have to, one thing we have to do next is start holding these elected officials accountable. That's something we don't do. These elected officials, we do not hold them accountable. We sit there and put them in, and we don't do nothing. We put them in. We don't go to city hall meetings. We don't go to town hall meetings. We don't do none of that. So when they're sitting there, and the one thing that we forget is that a lot of the major decisions that govern us
local.
On a local level happens in those meetings, and most people don't go to those meetings. So when we're in black neighborhoods and they're getting gentrified, don't think that's just happening out of the blue. They had a meeting about that, and they sent flyers out because they have to do it, but nobody goes to the meetings. So we have to start, one thing is start holding them accountable, but we also have to start holding ourselves accountable to make sure that the people we put in office are doing what they say they're going to do for our communities.
To go along with that, you have to get some of these career politicians out of office. There needs to be a limit on congressmen, because look at Mitch McConnell. He's been in the thing so long and has done so little for Louisville.
Rand Paul. Kentucky. I hate that bastard, Rand Paul.
Oh, God.
but it's kind of like the idea, like going back to the whole principle, like some of these people, they want these government where they don't do, you know, the least kind of, you know, they don't want the change, I guess, in a way, you know, they want the money. And this is another thing, like, you know, big corporations are a lot of these people that have billions of dollars, you know, they use racism in a way to control a lot of those votes. Like, you know, there's certain, you know, minority, you know, there's the, like you were saying, you know, we're like the small, like black people are a small amount, you know, Indians and others even smaller, you know, Hispanic is even small, but we got to have the white people kind of on board, you know, a certain amount. And I think it's slowly changing their mind, not all of them, but a good amount, which, you know, I think will help out in the long run.
Honestly, I don't think it's slowly changing their mind. Honestly, bro. The reason why there was, back in 2016 when Trump got elected, when you saw the extreme right and the white supremacists start marching and stuff, you know the real reason why they're doing it is about 40 years, white people would be in the minority and that's why they're like they're preaching, you know, state your race and stay in there and, you know, let, you know, because, you know, there is.
And let's stop immigration, border. You know,
baby boomers are going away and Gen Z is taking over.
Statistic, bro. I don't want to say, Sam, check me if I'm wrong, but aren't white people dying faster than they can be, like, replenished? Or the birth rate for white people was down.
Or they're having less kids. I think
Sanjay, I think you were going to say it, Sanjay. But Shad, you're right. It's not that they're dying off faster. It's just the fact that they're not reproducing as fast as they're dying.
Okay, and that's counterpart to other race too. Like, you know, there's more Hispanic kids. You know, they, like, I don't know. I forgot. But, like, I think that's, like, the biggest growing population right now.
Yes, Sanjay. Every 26 out of 100 kids in public schools now are Hispanic / Latino. So they will be the bigger minority by 2050. They'll be the bigger minority.
That's crazy.
Isn't it crazy that, like, how the face of America is changing? And the power of that vote is very, very critical. But here's my thing. I think we have to – here's something I've been hearing, too, a lot on this, just to say this, I think we need to start voting our own interest, not on party line, not because that's a Democrat or that's a Republican, but literally our own personal interest. Like, is this person going to do whatever it takes to better the community or better something that you like? As black people, we voted for the Democrats for years, right after the, well, whatever, when they switched, when the party
probably,
you know. We've been voting Democrat. But what has it got us? And it's something funny, like when Sam said the 1994 bill that came across, one of the most celebrated presidents in the black community is who?
Bill Clinton.
This man put in the 3-strike rule, passed that bill up under our nose, but we celebrate him to the highest power. His wife called us predators, then denied when she ran. It's just like, we got to stop just voting for people just because they're a Democrat. We really have to do our due diligence as Americans to do some research, folks.
I think what changed, I think, I don't know, maybe, is like the amount of diversity in the candidates, or, you know, it's definitely different. You know, people who ran in the 90s were, you know, mostly represented by a certain race segment, I feel like. Versus now, you know, I mean, it's still, you know, more slightly lean, but it's still better, you know.
It's like that now, man. Look at the president we had. All right, so when we started off, we had a diverse, a variety. I'm going to start you. We had a variety of people up there. We had Cory Booker. We had what's that woman out in California? I cannot think of her name for nothing.
Kamala Harris.
Kamala Harris. We had the senator from Hawaii, who was a soldier. We had Andrew Yang. We had plenty of diversity. But what happened at the end of it? All of them got dwindled down to Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren, and Joe Biden.
True.
But it kind of still represents, you know, the major block. I mean, until 2050, you know, we got to cross that threshold, you know. But you know, the thing I look at is, like, I don't care. I mean, it does matter, but, like, if their mindset changes where they kind of view and help towards, you know, what everybody's good for everybody, then I wouldn't mind, you know, helping. Because you know who the vice president is going to be? It's going to be definitely Kamala, or, I don't know, somebody minority. It's going to be our Dick Cheney. It's going to be our turn to get our Dick Cheney in, you know?
What? Sam?
And that's how it works. Like, I think the whole point of having Joe Biden is, like, this guy who's in the middle, who, you know, kind of appeals to both sides, and definitely it's like a safe play in a way.
Sam, what you going to say?
Sam
is fighting to say something. Go ahead.
Thank you, DC. I kind of want to chime in here just a little bit. So, Shad, I agree with you. One thing we have to do better is educate ourselves on our politics and also on our rights. And also, like, this is interesting. We're having this conversation, seeing where you guys are going with this. It's one thing that I think we all have to bring into context here is what we're – I think one thing we've been looking at everything through one lens, and we've been looking at it through the racial lens. And I would want to challenge you guys to think of another lens that I've noticed, but I don't know if y'all have really been paying attention. This is not just about race. This is also about a power struggle in generations that I'm starting to realize. So what it is that you've noticed that the majority of protesters are of the younger generation. They're black and white and any other race in between. And what it is that we entered the adult into this, the workforce, into our parents' world, our grandparents' world, and the younger generation, our generation, has realized how messed up things are. And the fact that we have to live in it and we're seeing things for what it is, knowing that's not how we were brought up and also educated on how things are supposed to be. And so now you're seeing a point where our generation is bringing up a loud voice, because you also have to remember now the baby boomers are retiring. And I think the millennials and the millennial generation is the largest workforce now in the United States. And I think that took a little bit of a hit with the COVID virus. But generally speaking, the majority of the workforce is of the millennial population. But you're right. And I think what we're seeing here is a change in the guard. But the problem is that we haven't seen this change happen in our politics yet. And I think this is like the beginning of that paradigm shift to where we can start, where we can really start to see the change that can occur. You know, I watched a video with Dick Cheney, the late Dick Cheney, rest in peace. It was an interview he did about 6 years ago.
You said rest in peace?
Yeah, Dick Cheney. Not Dick Cheney. God dog.
No, I was about to say. Dick Gregory.
My bad. Dick Gregory. I'm sorry. Dick Gregory. Dick Gregory, rest his soul. He had an interesting interview. He interviewed a young man, and you know, he said in that interview towards the end of it that he felt like our generation was going to be the generation that would make the big change that should, that the, I think the civil rights movement during the 60s was trying to push, but obviously was like, you know, it was given in increments. And I think now we're going to have a big push. We probably won't see it like in the next year or two, but I think we'll see it like in the next decade when we'll really start to see some things really change.
So I want to kind of quickly throw in there, you know, you were talking about protests and stuff. I just want to tie in, you know, peaceful protests, like, you know, if it really works, and it definitely does. Like, if you go back to, like, India and what Gandhi did and what MLK did, was it was just about, it was just, you know, it was a peaceful protest, but it was, like, in mass numbers, you know. It was just a huge, significant force where, you know, you definitely felt like that, you know, this is a significant change right now, and, you know, that, you know, people aren't going to have it, you know. And I think it slowly kind of, I think, you know, it built up to that point, I think, after Ferguson, you know. And I think it's gonna carry over hopefully to the election.
I'll add something on to y'all. Something about those protests back then too are a little bit different. They also hit the dollar amount. Let's think about this. We're talking about the Montgomery bus protest, right? Remember that?
That was a freedom rider, right?
Yeah, that was about money. And here's the thing. Our oppressors don't understand anything but money. And it's true. A lot of that stuff is tied to money. And I get peaceful protests, yes, is it a good thing? Yes. But it's also kind of like when violence is met, what do? We turn the other cheek. We turn the other cheek all the time.
I'm going to hit on the point, Sam.
Go ahead. I'm not advocating that we be violent, but I'm just saying, like, there comes a point where there's only so much peace can do and there's so much it can offer. Yes, it has offered us a lot, but it seems like now we're tired of being peaceful. We're tired of being told this is the way to protest and or this isn't the way to protest, actually, and then they don't tell us how we should protest. You get what I'm saying? Kaepernick takes a knee. He can't do that. That's not peaceful protesting. The walk in Selma across the bridge, that wasn't a peaceful protest. That was an assembly of people that they destroyed. Threw water on them, threw dogs at them. Like, at one point, where do we stop at? Because, like, also my thing is America wasn't born outside of our own peaceful protest. It was born out of radical.
Were you about to say, Sam?
Yeah, I was. So, Chad, you're right. In the sense of the last, right, the Boston Tea Party, right, that had to happen because that was part of, I think, what that...
The revolution.
Right.
The taxation right. without representation. You know?
Yeah. Like, no taxation without representation. I mean, you're right. They're being ruled by... Yeah, I think that's one country...
Monarchy.
Right, a monarchy being ruled by, being governed by a completely different monarchy all the way across the ocean. But I think in terms of what you just did, Shad, you sat here and said that you don't know how much peaceful protests can bring, but you just sat here and named peaceful protests that have been so effective that we talk about those things to this day. Like, they said Colin Kaepernick protest was wrong, but we sit here talking about how the impact of it and how now going into the NFL season, they're going to do that.
But that's 4 years later from what he was already initially at. Here's my thing. They don't give support then. It's always a lesson learned, right?
But it's always the kid theory, you know, the stove hot. Like, don't touch the stove, you know, don't touch the stove. You know, it's like if people don't know, learn until they, especially when it comes to racism and, you know, when you're not, it's about yourself in a way, you know, it takes a longer, more, you know,
yeah, I hear you, but I don't think so. Here's my thing. I think people see what goes on. They just choose to ignore it.
Well, now you can't. I think what happened is, like, I think shit like this has been happening forever, you know, police brutality. But now we have videos and recording, you know, things to kind of expose some of this stuff. And I think I'm going to go back to this other thing. Like, going back to opportunity, what Sam was talking about, you know, like, our generations, you know, we kind of see the reality and stuff. And, you know, going back to, like, Obama and stuff, like, I think like 6 or 8 million people voted more versus, you know, during the 2016 election. And it was like a lot of it were like a lot of these conservative or down the middle people, you know. So I think it comes down to opportunities given to people. And, you know, like a lot of those people lost jobs, you know, things, factories left, a lot of things, you know, happened that changed, you know, the economy, and it's, which kind of goes back to money in a way. I think you can tie a lot of things together and make people come around if you kind of relate to the basic thing, like a basic living, you know, you're just trying to do it for your family, you know, live life, you know. So maybe trying to give these good opportunities. Instead of working in fast food, maybe we have high-end manufacturing, you know, making Tesla cars, good batteries, solar panels, you know. So if they're secure, they're more comfortable about themselves, you know, then they maybe don't have more hate inside of themselves, you know. Maybe they got money to do things they like.
I agree, but it's hard to bring back industry in America. America is more of a service industry country now.
If you think back to 1920s, you know, there's always a shift, like the shift from going from oil bad to more energy efficient. I think there's a shift.
It's also been a shift too, man. When you look at it like this, industrial, right? So in an industrial complex, you're trying to make as much product as you can with the least amount of overhead, right? A lot of automotive factories are automated. There's not a lot of these manufacturer jobs are literally automation. They've made computers and robots have been slowly dwindling that stuff away. Now, where it's value based, other countries that are where,
but what price, don't you need a technician? Type of work,
huh? Where labor costs are high.
But what if, like, instead of, well, I guess my point is, like, what don't you need, like, a robot technician? Like, somebody to fix or repair those robots?
That's education and tech. And that's something I don't think that we focus enough on, honestly.
Sorry, buddy, but, like, don't you think, like, instead of for technician, you know, like, you don't need to go to college for 4 years. Maybe you go to community college, you know? Like,
I agree. Like, college is not for everybody. And I do agree. I think we need to be more, you know what, it was kind of pushed on us as a kid. You know, you were like, oh, go to college, you get a good job, blah, 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 which necessarily a lot of us did. But I know guys that I got a buddy that was a diesel mechanic, and I know a guy that was that's a welder to make 6 figures a year. Then they went to trade school. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm a big advocate of, like, somebody going to trade school. Like, here's my thing. Like,
college. Hey, what's wrong with you? DC is high as hell.
No, I'm not. I think y'all and veered way off the original topic. So here's what we're gonna do. Unfortunately, I have to bring out my friend.
2 minute warning.
All right. So that'd be, hey, look. So basically, we're gonna go back to topic real quick, and we'll get my. I've been holding this in.
Topic, bro. Let's do something different.
Y'all went from protesting to industrial and jobs.
But it ties back into. Yeah, because, like, why are we protesting? Because people have been suppressed. They don't have opportunities. You know,
we're protesting because we're tired of – black people are tired of being killed in the streets like dogs. And that's the real – that's the real protest. It's not just about systematic racism. It's about – we're tired of people getting killed and nothing – no one's being held responsible for the killings. And that's the only thing that people – that's the truth. And I have to agree with this whole conversation has changed my original point in the beginning, because my original point was like, if we're our peaceful protest isn't working, but it, like Sam said, Sam opened my eyes, it is working. Because, like he said, I mean, look at Kaepernick, they're allowing them to kneel before the thing, and as you see change happening, you know. As you see change happening, you'll see more people stand up, and I think that's like a great way to end that topic. But while we're still here on this topic, you know, while we're still in the group, how y'all feel about coronavirus? Y'all good?
Oh, that's some. No, I'm good. No, I'm just.
Any have y'all all had tests?
No, I hadn't had tests. I've had some people around me get tested. I don't know, man. I don't really know how I feel about it at this point. Like, I want to be like, oh, it's bullshit. And then again, I'm just like, man, it's. I've seen.
I'm scared of it, but I'm also like, I'm fighting it. I'm working. I haven't been sick during this whole period. I've worked since basically the country shut down every day.
Yeah.
Today is one of my only days off, but I'm still going back to go into work. So with that being said, NBA is trying to come back. They are having a huge debate. The debate is, you know, a lot of NBA players are members of the Black community. And the debate is, do we go back to work when we have this going on? Or do we – if we go back to work, does it not take eyes off of the Black Lives Matter movement? Which, and I'll give my little personal take on it. I honestly feel like the Black Lives Matter movement has kind of been infiltrated. It's no longer what it means. It's hard for me. Every day I wake up and I see someone accusing this company of this and this, and I have to. I don't know who's genuine anymore. You know what I'm saying? And that is hard to go through right now. Starbucks is a prime example. They were saying to their employees, you can't wear Black Lives Matter stuff. And then they produced this shirt and was like, y'all can buy this.
I'm going to get my food.
Y'all can buy this. You know what I'm saying? So it makes me feel like, Who is for Black people and who is really, you know, and I am very, very, I have seen some crazy videos, and which is crazy that you have to see videos. I saw a video of a white man standing up for a 14-year-old kid who was getting harassed by two middle-aged white people because he was riding his bike on an empty sidewalk where... And he wasn't bothering anyone, and they were like, you should be riding your bike on the bike lane. Which, in my opinion, I hate riding on the bike lane because I have a bike. I bike to work every once in a while. It's been a while. But I hate riding in the bike lane. I only do it when I have to. If the sidewalk is empty and I'm not dealing with anybody, you know, I'm going to ride on the sidewalk. I feel that's more safer. And so – I really feel like, I really feel like with this whole everything happening, back to the original topic, which was should the NBA players get back to work? I really feel like if they pull their money together, which they do, or if they're in this community and they're a Black community person and they use their platform. Like a few years back, I remember seeing that picture of Kobe, the I Can't Breathe shirt on. And Kobe, that was back when Eric Garner was killed. I remember seeing that, you know, and thinking, well, that's just using it. When they used their hoodies when Trayvon Martin was killed.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? All that, use your platform and then keep talking about it. When they come to you at the end of your game and they want to talk about your stats, you say, hold on, we're going to talk about this, this, and this. I'm going to force you to understand why we're protesting. And I think that would be a great way. I don't know about you guys. What do y'all think? Let's start with Sam. Go ahead.
DC, so I want to make sure I understand the question. So the question is, can the athletes start work and continue their activism?
Yeah, basically.
And I think you kind of pointed out some pretty good points here about the athletes being able to use their platform, because I agree with you 100% on that. I think if the season starts, I agree that if they choose to, I believe they should go back to work. And to your point, use their post-game time and pre-game time to be able to talk about, or maybe just post-game interviews, to be able to talk about social injustice and the things that they want to stand up for. I agree with you on that. I think that's what it is. And I think what it is, that'll allow other people that exist in the community that are pushing for change, everybody needs to step up, is another thing. Is kind of like a subtitle underneath that, is that, you know, I appreciate what the athletes have done up to this point, using their platform so far to spread a message and to help invoke change where they can. But you're right. I don't agree or disagree whether or not they go back. But if they do go back, then I agree. You're right. They should use that platform to highlight their causes.
Andre?
I do want the NBA to go back for selfish reasons. I want LeBron to win a fourth championship and, you know, end the debate. But
what debate would it end?
Boom. Well, that, ain't no debate.
I don't think it would end the debate. I think it will help him out. Or in order for LeBron to be in the conversation legitimately, I think he needs to have at least four minimum. You know, because everybody wins three is the typical kind of. But
going back to the – because he didn't win one.
Yeah, right. He legitimized with one, but I like LeBron, but I don't know what level you're trying to say is going to be talked about. That you're into talking about, like,
and how do you feel about them fighting about going back to work?
I mean, I kind of agree, like what you're saying. Like, if they do go back to work, how they should address it, or, you know, kind of continue forward moving the message is, you know, control the media narrative, or they have the opportunity to control. Not, you know, they can still answer their typical game question, but, you know, devoted time to talk about the cause or certain things. But the other thing is, I want them to put their money where their mouth is. You know, that means getting people out to vote. You know, biggest changes, and I think LeBron and some people have done it, you know, trying to fight voter suppression and some other stuff. So I think if maybe they don't know how to do national, but if they just focused on their city or their area, you know, maybe if they get 1,000 people registered, new registered, you know,
African American. It's going to be hard for them to, you know, to focus on their area because they're not in their area. They're all going to be in Orlando.
Well, the season's only for, like, going to be a month or two, you know.
Yeah.
But, like, I mean, they have other people. They have secretaries. As long as they can put resource behind it and continue the talk, you know, do both. Talk in the media, but back it up, you know. There's got to be action on the ground to make it happen, not just talk. Because, you know, I like the talk, you know, idea of keep the message going, because, you know, 2020 has been a year where one thing after another rolled up, and, you know, you tend to slowly kind of, you know, get, what do you call, not lenient, what's the word, like, you get numb in a way.
Yeah, you're right. Chad, how you feel about it?
I don't argue both ways. I see what I've heard, why some of them don't want to go back to work, so they feel like it's going on. Bring attention away from what is actually going on in the world, which I definitely understand why you wouldn't want to go back to work for that. Like, when you look at sports in America, sports have always been a distraction for everything. No matter what is being protesting, 9/11, you know, I think, like, what were they out for, a week for 9/11, and the next thing you know, that everything was back. And it was, sports was like this relief for America to take a break, to sit down, like, oh, we're back. It took you away from that reality. Now, in saying that, I think if they go back, they have an opportunity to be on a platform, which I can't really say that, because, like, you got Twitter, you got Facebook, you got Instagram, so you have platforms, but I guess this form of platform, or the media platform, you have a larger audience you can reach and keep. As long as, I guess, you keep the message in mind of what you're doing, like, even though you're playing a game.
Hey, can I jump in quick?
Yeah, sure.
So, going to your point, like, this whole idea of, you know, sports, and, like, you know, there's, like, a debate where people don't want politics in sports, you know, the whole idea of Colin Kaepernick, you know, where they think, you know, sports is their escape point, and, you know, they don't have to worry about anything. And now, if you definitely make that part very uncomfortable, they really have no place to escape. And, you know, that's one of the issues. Like, people have to face the issues head on. They can't just escape from it in a way. So I think if the athletes continue to push the message and, you know, not just stay quiet. If they stay quiet, then they play into the old age, you know, kind of, you know, it's an escape point. But if they kind of become a area where they're shining a light on it and they other people can't escape, you know, use sports as an escape factor, you know, then I think it'll help everybody out. You know, there's nowhere to go. You're going to hear, you know, you're going to listen in a way.
The other issue for a lot of them, what I'm also reading is they're worried about getting injured during this time. I honestly, I'm on the fence about the season because the season, the question is, is the season, will it have an asterisk next to it? Are they really considered, if the Lakers win, are they really considered the real champions? Because they're also doing a spirit, let's be honest, they're doing an experimental playoff form. They're doing one versus 16, right?
But as long as they're seven game series, as long as they have seven game series, then I don't care, you know.
But still, I mean, you're not playing. The Lakers aren't. They're not. No longer are they playing. All right, let's say my Wizards make it in. They're the 16th seed. They're the last seed in the what? But let's just say they make it in. All right, so they get – I think they get like four games before or eight games, and then they get whoever those eight games after those eight games, the top 16 teams make it in. All right, so let's say my Wizards make it in. Because right now – let's go look at it. We can look at the hold on 1 second. Let's look at the
– I'm going to run to the store, so I'm going to turn my screen off. I'm going to do audio only.
What are we looking at, DC?
I'm looking at the NBA standings, all right? So right now, from the East Conference, you have the Wizards all the way up to the Bucks going in, and then you have – the Suns all the way up to the Lakers going in. All right. So those are the 22 teams. All right. So in order to be top eight, you have to have 32. So the Grizzlies would have to lose. So honestly, I don't see the Wizards making it in. But let's see.
Aren't they having some of the games to some of the teams to make it into the playoff?
Yeah, I thought they have like seven regular games or something like that.
Yeah, so and basically you have to get in within the last eight spots. Hold on, shit. I might have to go.
I don't know, man. Like, I'll be honest with you about this. I don't know, man, because I feel a way about the season. I said maybe they should just stop the season where it is and start another year, you know? Then there's – I'm like, Sonji, then it's like a selfish part of me where I'm just like, man, I ain't got nothing else to do. I really want something to watch, yeah. You know? So –
well, Sonji.
But
– Sonji. All right, never mind. Go ahead.
I think it's a positive to it, bro, honestly. Like, it's something different. It's give us something exciting to watch. Nah, I'm not even gonna be mad, you know, because I wanna watch the game. But I just think it's gonna be something new. Now, is it gonna leave an asterisk by the season? Maybe, maybe not. I mean, it's like what?
You have to leave an asterisk. They're no longer going with the way they were going before. You know what I'm saying?
I think it only leaves asterisk if there's like a coronavirus. You know, one of the major stars gets a coronavirus and they can't finish the series.
That brings up an interesting question. Hold on, son. What happens if that, like, what happens if an NBA player that's in the, like, say they play in the finals, right? They in the finals. Then all of a sudden one of the players get corona. Or do they keep playing? Like that's a lot of dynamic about that team.
And that more than likely, we're not the only ones talking about this. You know what I'm saying? They're gonna be in a little bubble. Their bubble, I mean like people like Luka Doncic have to come in America, have to do 2 weeks of quarantine and then have to do 2 weeks of quarantine in their little bubble before they start doing stuff in Orlando.
That's a whole month, bro.
Honestly, I don't think it's going to be you know, they're kind of concerned about the health, but, like, they're all in that range where it's not a, you know, issue for, you know, that age range. I understand if they don't want to get it to their family member, but, you know, maybe they can quarantine themselves and, you know, if they do have it, you know, then they can go back to their family members. But I think you got to finish the game off because that helps you make money, you know. That's a good thing. And it keeps people occupied. It helps you build your legacy for some people, I feel like, you know, especially LeBron. He doesn't have that much time. And you got to go through all the playoff rounds. You know, the only asterisk I see is, like, you know, the regular season is shortened by 8 to 10 games. But other than that, you know, most of the season's been complete. You're playing the same amount of playoff rounds.
You really think about it, back in the 90s, they used to do – before the conference finals, they used to do best of five. They could possibly do that.
I like the 7-game. I think this is just like an anomaly in a way, just – to kind of, you know, it's a reaction to this. You know, it's like business. Like, you know, every business got to adapt. You know how we were talking about capitalism, you know? If you doesn't adapt or, you know, then you kind of just fall behind or get, you know, taken out in a way. So I think it's just an off thing they got to do, and I think it's a good thing. I want to see some fucking basketball. I don't know. There's like an asterisk on Warriors, don't you think so? With Kevin Durant? You know, people say that shit.
Yeah, Sanjay, but I think that's for different reasons, though. But I agree with what you're saying, though. You know, this season, you know, that asterisk, I believe, is going to exist. But I think it'll be just one of those in history. And you know, they're going to be able to look back and see an asterisk next to the season champion. And be like, what was so unique about that year? And, you know, it'll be one of those things, and, you know, in the history of the NBA, when they look back at it in 50 years or 40 years, they'd be able to go back and say, you know what, that was the year when a world pandemic struck and they shortened the season, or they temporarily postponed the season and recontinued it, but in a simulated fashion to have a new champion. Or to crown a champion for that season. So, you know, I think it's one of those things, you're right, Sonny, this is one of those things that exist in history as an asterisk that we'll look back. But I do think whoever's crowned this year as a champion is, in my opinion, I would look at them as the champion for that season, regardless of how things played out.
And I agree with you wholeheartedly on that, Sam. But here's my thing. I guess I want to play devil advocate today because I like playing. So, why would there be an asterisk on this season? Wouldn't you think that if they played the rest of it out, played the playoffs, that whoever wins the championship has earned that championship, regardless of how the season may have ended or, like, what had happened? I don't feel like it should be an asterisk by it, because if you earn it, you play through all the games, you earn that championship. Like,
I think the only reason they say it because of chemistry, maybe because, you know, you had this long period off and you lose team chemistry. But the thing about basketball is usually the best team wins because, you know, it's the 7-game series. And basketball, you know, you play both ways, you know. There's less chance for luck and stuff like football, you know, where, you know, other factor plays in. Definitely. Usually basketball, the best team usually wins.
Yes, Sanjay, and yes, Shad. Those are good points. I would say to those points, I would say the reason why the asterisk needs to exist is to what Sanjay just alluded to, the fact that there was just this lull in the season that happened for like three and a half, four months that has allowed teams, think about this, has allowed a lot of teams to rest and regain strength. And I think right before the coronavirus hit, the LA Clippers was just starting to hit their stride. So, you know, is it going to be one of those things where if the Lakers somehow pulled it off and won the Western Conference Final against the Clippers, would we attribute it to the fact that, hey, you know, the LA Clippers were actually starting to hit their stride at this point, but since they've come back since the COVID break, you know, they just really haven't – they've tried to refine their chemistry and it just hasn't really clicked going into the playoffs. So, you know, I think that's why the asterisk has to exist. You know, I think this is just a very unique circumstance in our history
And, you know, it's I think that has to be polished to some degree.
Well, yeah, that is true. But I was about to say something like, I was about to say, what about the, all the college, all the college kids and stuff that didn't get to have the championship this year. And I mean, like, I don't know. I think you make some valid points, and I can't really argue like something against it right now. I'm trying to think of something. I ain't got nothing. But I'm just looking at it. I don't think it should be there. I get why it should, but I don't think it diminished their championship.
It shouldn't. I'm not arguing that it does. I think it just looks at it as a unique circumstance under which the championship is won.
That's right, but I think there's some people that's going to diminish it and be like, "Oh, it was a half season. It don't mean nothing." Like that's why I was saying, like they worked for it. They got there. And I don't want them to. Whoever wins, I don't want their legacy to be diminished. To be like, "Oh, well, they won it. It was, you know." Let's just say DC Wizards won it. Like. Maybe they got healthy and got rested, and they just went on a fucking tear. You know, I mean,
John Wall is healthy now.
So I mean, or the New Jersey Nets right now. You know, so say I know KD said he wouldn't come back, but like you get KD and back healthy. So I mean, like they make a run. I don't feel like it still diminishes their championship. What I'm saying, I think people will say that it would diminish the championship. Like, oh, it's not legitimate because of the asterisk there and because of the season. When I'm like, well, they kind of earned it. I get that they took a break and it's not fair, but they still earned it because they still had to play through all these games to get to that point.
Yep, I don't disagree, Shad.
All right. So we got the NBA out of the way. My only core siding thing is like I agree with Sam. Teams hit stride. Y'all know I'm a big soccer lover. I love the game of football. Champions League soccer. They stopped the whole tournament, mid-tournament. And then you have teams like Germany, Bayern Munich in Germany that's the only team in the Champions League from Germany. They're playing fucking amazing right now. They haven't lost since December.
Wow.
They haven't drawn since December. The last time you saw them in the Champions League, they beat Chelsea 7-3 in a soccer match. You have a team that has started its league back up a whole month before Italy, Spain, England starts this month back. And then they start Champions League. They'll finish their league at the end of July. They'll start Champions League in the beginning of August. And now you have Champions League going on, and it's like, is it a good thing or is it a bad thing that they started a whole month earlier and now they're finishing? These other teams are going to be informed. It's like, damn. So if they don't, I don't really understand how anyone can consider any sports, you know, like Sam said, teams were hitting their strides at different times. Now let's say you know, you got Juventus, you got Ronaldo on your team, and Ronaldo's playing amazing because he's been working his ass off. He might not have been working his ass off beforehand, you know, but now he is. Messi playing amazing. All these giant superstars. LeBron is not. They had a video of LeBron riding bikes with Anthony Davis not too long ago in the middle of L.A. You know what I'm saying? Not everybody took this quarantine to get in shape. You know what I'm saying? So, unfortunately, you know, I don't know how much, in my opinion, I don't know how much this season really ends up being great, 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 great. It's always going to have an asterisk to me. I mean, of course, I'm going to give them a champion. Yeah, they won the championship, but don't really matter.
You say that, but if the Wizards pull it off, you'll be.
If the Wizards pull it off, it's still John Wall wasn't gonna be there at first, and now he's back. I'm still gonna say, damn, that's kind of fucked up. Now we got to do it again. Let's run it back.
If the Wizard won, is it legitimate or is it illegitimate?
Illegitimate. Man, there's no way Wizards can. I wouldn't claim that. I wouldn't count it.
But imagine, though. Just imagine that. He comes back. He wasn't supposed to play at all this season. We had a whole 3 month break, and the season starting back up. And guess what? The Wizards paying that man his money. They want their worth. Get your ass in the game. You know what I'm saying? Even though they said that John Wall isn't playing, but
hey, but don't you think the asterisk it kind of makes it to point where like, hey, we had a stop. We didn't have chemistry, but we got in shape and still won. So that could be a good counterpoint. Hey. For counting, you know, like, hey, this is legitimate, you know.
True, yeah. It could be a thing. So that's not their fault that your teammates didn't take an accountability to work out and maybe improve something on their game. Bro, you play basketball. You can go outside in your driveway and play basketball and put up some hoops. You know what I mean? You ain't got. It's not like football where you need contact or something like that. Soccer, you can go out and run every day. You know, you can lift weights and stuff. But basketball is literally like one of those sports. Like, you can do it anywhere, anytime, any place. You can put up shots. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I agree, man. There's no asterisk. I think that the asterisk only to me represents just the uniqueness of the season. But I wouldn't discredit whoever the champion is. They're all paid professionals. They know what they got to do. The season, all their season will start at the same time. Hey, everybody knows what the goal is. The goal never changed. So that's my take.
Amen.
Y'all know who y'all think going to win it? Let's go ahead and do that now over here. Y'all need to know who's all in it?
Man, yeah, I didn't know who all in it, man. You can't just pull out a question like that. Nah, you know.
Who's the top 4 team on each conference or top 8 team? The West and the East or whatever.
No, it's 22.
Yeah, but they're not – I don't think – yo, so
– give us the best one that has a chance of winning.
I thought mathematically that Memphis – wouldn't be able to make it, or is Memphis or the Pelicans got a really hard schedule coming up, and they last like 7 games or some crap.
I think Pelican, they want Zion to get in for a rating, but okay, I think here are the top teams. I think Lakers, Clippers, Milwaukee, Houston.
Milwaukee has the best chance. Milwaukee, if you bet $100, you can get $200 back.
Yeah, because they have the least competition because of the East. But Miami's a sleeper.
It's real competitive.
We're not even going to focus on the East because I do think the Milwaukee's going to come out of the East. But
it's not even the East no more. That's what y'all don't realize. It's not. It's the best record. That's what I'm trying to tell y'all. They're not doing East. Adam Silver has been wanting to do the 1-16 format for the longest.
I think that's true for basketball.
Isn't that going to be more exciting, though? Think about it.
No, it's not. The 1 seed would be the Bucks. The 16 seed would be – all right, here, would be the Grizz.
Who's number 2? Lakers?
The Lakers would be number 2. The Lakers would end up having to play the Clippers immediately, not too long after the first round.
Man, that's –
I guess go ahead and get him out of the way. Matchup.
How are they going to play?
There's no longer Eastern and Conference Final. That's what they were talking about.
So they're treating it like NCAA.
Huh?
So they're treating it like NCAA.
No.
Well, they're using this since they have to do it experimental. They're doing a different 16-seed style instead of doing the top 8 of each. Because there physically is no way for the top 8 to happen. Because the Wizards are 6 behind the Magic. And that's in the East. So they will automatically be out. There's no way for them to get in. The Pelicans are 2 behind the Magic. The Grizzlies are 2 above the Magic. So the Grizzly and the Magic will be the 8 seeds in each. But they're giving them all – they're giving the Trailblazers, the Pelicans, the Kings, the Spurs, the Suns, and the Wizards – who only have 24 wins a chance to get into this by making them play the Magic, making them play each other. The Magic, the Grizzlies, they have to all play.
Well, I thought it was a seven. Everybody had to play seven regular season games at the end. So, like, what is the take on that?
Like, I think that determines the last two playoff spots. It determines the
I'm reading through it right now. They're a neutral site. You got to think about all that.
Yeah, home board doesn't really matter.
Let me tell you something. From betting on soccer, boy, I'm telling y'all, that home court has been negated. Sanjay, get that mic, Sanjay.
But this ain't soccer, man.
Sanjay might go on like.
Huh?
Yeah, here's Sanjay Mike just going. Yeah, mute that thing, Sanjay.
I'm running, boxing.
My man goes, I'm running, walking. Man, nobody told you to go to the store in the middle of the podcast, bro. They could have waited.
Literally.
We ain't got much longer, man. We probably gonna wrap this
got
up.
Got two more segments and we're done. So who y'all picking? Y'all picking? I'm personally gonna pick. I think the Bucks get it.
Bucks. I'm doing Lakers versus Bucks and Lakers winning.
Neutral site. I'm taking the Bucks.
Really?
Yep.
They weren't even that good at home this year.
So I'm gonna go left field on all y'all, man.
Celtics.
No, I'm gonna pick the Clippers to win it all because I think they got the best team.
Like, they got the injured team. Kawhi still injured. He's not gonna be able to play full game, man. He's only gonna play for a quarter and gonna tap out.
I'm just saying, man. I think Kawhi in this time of season is a different guy, and the Clippers have like one of the deepest bench out there in the NBA right now. So,
I'm not gonna lie, the bench that the Bucks have is pretty good.
I mean, they decent. But I just
feel I'm pretty sure don't they have
I'm gonna ride the Clippers train, dog. I'm
gonna ride. All right, buddy. Good luck. one of the next topic and one of the final topics of the thing because we've been on this about an hour. Let's cut this up, chop this thing up. So we had Dak Prescott during this whole time with the contract negotiation. And if everybody knows us, we all went to Mississippi State during Dak Mania.
Pay my boy. That's all I'm going to say. Pay him. Now, is he a top? Wait, can I start off? Wait, can I?
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
Pay him. I don't care what nobody says. Pay Dak. He deserves, maybe I'm biased because we all in MSU, but I don't give a fuck. Pay that man. He deserves his money. He done been there 5 years, had a salary of $400,000, have got you more wins than Tony Romo. Like, why not pay him? Is he a top-ranked quarterback? Yeah. You know, is he a Patrick Mahomes or – you know, somebody like that, Aaron Rodgers. Hey.
He's going to be better than Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes is good, but he's overhyped.
Sanjay, I'm going to kick
Sanjay,
you.
Stop. No,
I'm kicking you off of this call.
Bro.
Hey, y'all say bye to Sanjay.
Hey, how many number one wide receivers Patrick Mahomes had?
How many what?
Number one wide receivers did Patrick Mahomes have? Three. How many number one tight end did he have? The best, Travis Kelce. He had one of the best offensive lines. A fucking offensive genius coach.
How did he have three number one?
Number ones. I know.
Yeah, Sammy Watkins, Tyreek Hill. Then he had somebody else. I mean, if you count Kelce.
Sammy Watkins is not a number one.
Yes, no. He is. He was.
No. He was drafted high. He was drafted high, but he's not a number one.
He's not.
He is. I bet he would be a number one in a lot of teams, close to a number one,
if you put them in half of the teams, he would be a number one.
Buffalo, that they thought he wasn't a number one. That's why they got rid of him.
And that's why they're Buffalo. You can't use Buffalo as an example, Sam, of a good
Buffalo. A good 2 year. Hey, time out, dog. Buffalo's a 2 year playoff team, back to back.
Finally.
I mean, but obviously, Sammy Watkins wasn't the answer, because when he was there, they didn't go to the playoffs. The minute they get rid of him, they go to the playoffs.
Bro, they had Rex Ryan. I mean, that whole organization was dysfunction.
Man, hold on, man. Let's get back to the topic of that. Okay, back to my point being, is he one of the top five quarterbacks in the league right now?
Debatable.
I'm going to say he's not top five, but he's close.
He's top 10.
I don't think there's too many quarterbacks you'll put in front of him, man. If I go, like, just name it off the list now, thinking who's starting in the 32 team,
top 15. I'm taking it back. He's top 15. He's not top 10. He's top 15. Come on. Listen to me. All right. Automatically, you have the GOAT. You have Tom Brady. All right. Two, you have – I mean, you can boo him, but he has six rings.
I got it. I know. He clutch. But
we'll – I'm not even a Tom Brady fan. And that's like saying boo to LeBron. So.
I think we say he's
Tom Brady, top 10. Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers, Ben, Patrick Mahomes, Russell Wilson.
Russell Wilson would be in front of – Aaron Rodgers.
He's better. Russell, I think Russell Wilson's better than Patrick
Russell
Mahomes.
I think Russell Wilson would be the number two quarterback in the league.
He's number one. Talent-wise, he's the best quarterback in the league. Tom Brady is only good now because he has six rings, but Tom Brady's on the back end of his career. His arm strength isn't there, but he still has a great mind, and he can still throw the football to a degree. But he isn't the best quarterback in the league.
No, he's not.
He's the most athletic.
He's the most efficient quarterback in the league.
But he's still great.
But here's my – hold on. Before we move back on the deck, I really want to see how he plays this year in Tampa Bay in that system, because, man, he has a squad. Like, he has never had a squad like this like he has at Tampa Bay. And, like, if he don't go to the play – if he doesn't go to the championship, or at least will contend, I think it's a loss for him.
Dude, NFC is stacked, bro. This year is going to be awesome.
Let's be honest. I mean – the fucking Super Bowl is in Tampa Bay.
We're, it's lining up for him.
Where else is he going to go?
It's like football guys just open and brush fucking Tom Brady, man. It's just like weird.
But Russell Wilson hasn't missed a game.
No.
There's no better quarterback than that.
Yeah, he's the best quarterback in the league.
Yeah, but he's got a bad offensive line. And then, like, this is what I was about to say about Dak, man. You look at him like Forrest, like, I guess I hate to put in fantasy in this, but, like, he was a top five quarterback in fantasy yards per game.
Yep.
Nobody's putting up his yardage.
And
he's number one or number two yards.
You know what else? I mean, you know what else?
You can't argue with that. The man has a really good offensive line. They can use maybe one or two more guys to shore it up, maybe a little something. He has a great wide receiver. He's blessed with a good tight end, thanks to Jason Witten coming back for one more season. Shout out to him.
Jason Witten went
to the Raiders.
Terrible last year.
Yeah.
Hey, Jason Witten went to the Raiders.
Huh?
He went to the Raiders.
He did. I forgot about that.
Yeah, so.
And then they had Randall. Did they not have Randall Cobb last year?
Yeah, they did.
He's still on the roster.
No, he went to Texas.
Oh, okay, never mind.
He went where?
Texans.
I'm just saying, Texans. Like, I pay the man his money. No,
understand what you're saying, Chad. Yes, but unfortunately, these owners are not. If it's any type of business, y'all know what it is. Is what can you? What have you done for me lately?
And what do you mean? What has he done for him?
He's done everything. He's done everything better than Carson Wentz or golf or good as golf.
I'm like, what are you doing for me now? Like, what are you,
I'm
you know?
I'm not even a Cowboys fan, and I want to.
They're not going to pay that, man. And unfortunately. Go ahead, Sam. I see you with the.
Yeah, that's what I'm gonna do now. When I want to speak, I'm just gonna wait for y'all to stop. And I'm just gonna put my hand up and just be like, "All right, I think you're right." So the thing is, the question is okay. So should Dak get the money that he's asking for? He's asking for $35 million a year, if I remember correctly. And I think one thing we all have to remember, guys, and I think this is something we've seen how the trend has been going the last, I think, since the past decade, close to decade and a half, is that the quarterback market is very saturated. And typically the asking price or the price per player on a quarterback is extremely higher than any other position because we've identified that the quarterback obviously is the most important position on the field. So I think with Dak, I think Dak's right in the money he's asking, at least in the range. I think he's definitely like a $30 million plus, at least. But you know, if he wants 35, that's his prerogative. But I think we just have to remember that. And you also got to think he's playing for America's team, which is the most marketable NFL team. And he's played every game, and he's been nothing short of the model citizen for that organization since he stepped in. So I think with all that being said, you know, the money that he's asking for, and then we also have to think that the salary cap is going to increase. I forget by how much, but several million dollars.
So 10% every year.
And then they're talking about the additional game that the players are going to play. So I think
it's going to go crazy more because they got gambling too. There's going to be a lot of shit that kicks in.
Yeah. And I think just with all that in mind, I think Dak's asking price based on future trajectory of NFL money, I think is actually in the right – he's in the right boat, actually.
I agree. But here's my thing. I think he's also wanting a shorter deal so he can get back off in there and take advantage of that new market too as well when all that money gets there. Like, nobody's really signing, like, long-term deals. Like, the
Cowboys are trying
to find him to, like, 5 to 6 years. He doesn't want a 3-year deal. Like, maybe a 3 to 4 year deal from what I'm hearing. So, I mean, like, do you want to play on a franchise tag? I mean, it's guaranteed money. I mean, I don't see nothing wrong with it. You know what I'm saying?
And you know where that number is coming for 35? So he's going to get like 31 or 32 million this year. He's going to get like 37 next year if he gets tagged again. So which averages around to, you know, like $35 million a year. The minimum, that's what they got to pay him, you know. So it's just good, like, negotiation in a way.
But you know what? I wouldn't even sign my deal because from what I'm hearing, Patrick Mahomes is restructuring his deal or trying to get a new deal anyway. So I'll wait. He's going to
bust it. Dude, if he wins the Super Bowl, $40 million plus.
Who?
Dak. He's going to ask for $40 million plus. If he takes him to the Super Bowl, you got to ask for $40 million plus.
All right.
Man, I think Patrick Mahomes going to get $50 million plus, man. Just going
up on the price, boy.
Hey, look.
What if he beats Mahomes in the Super Bowl?
Let's look at it like this, y'all. And this is the truth. I'm going to use what Sam said. He is playing for the Cowboys. Cowboys are evaluated as a $2 billion team, maybe more.
I thought it was up a little higher than that.
I think Cowboys, let's go look. Most.
But yeah, hey. But
they're,
yeah,
like number five on the most valuable team in the world.
But you say, you know, the America's team or whatever, but like every QBs get like, you know, an advertisement because, you know, they're a franchise QB. And if you're the America's team, you also get the America's headache, you know. You got to deal with the media.
Actually, the Cowboys are number one. From last year, the Cowboys are number one. They're valuated at $5 billion a year. Look at it like this. Just like not too long ago, Spotify paid Joe Rogan $100 million. And then Spotify got evaluated as a billion-dollar company. Once you pay that man, you're gonna go. Your money, your worth is gonna go up. Maybe you go ahead and pay him. Is he worth 35? Maybe, yeah, maybe not. I mean, I do get what Shad is saying based off of past. I mean, if it wasn't for how the Cowboys handled the whole Ezekiel Elliott suspension thing, how that was handled. If Zeke had went ahead and took that suspension at the beginning of the year instead of trying to play whatever game he wanted to play, they would have went to the playoffs every year the two of them been in the league. They haven't missed the – they missed the playoff last year?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No. No, they
beat No, they made it. They made it, but they
lost the first round. They missed it. Oh, yeah, yeah.
2019,
they missed it, yeah.
Did they miss it?
Yeah, they missed it. They fired Jason Garrett right after the season ended, a couple of weeks, but they didn't make it.
Yeah, I was thinking of 2018, my bad.
His job was on the line.
His job was on the line.
So in 5 years, how long has Dak been there?
5 years?
Five.
Just going on the fifth year?
Yep.
Yeah.
No.
So he has a 50% playoff. He has a 50% playoff, like where he's been in the playoff 50% of his career. He won his first year. He missed a year. He won his next year. He missed last year. Come on, man. Pay that man. Go ahead. Pay that man.
And you know that first year, they beat Green Bay, but Aaron Rodgers made a comeback and his defense, he got fucked up. He would have went deep, you know, he would have had a deep playoff run in his rookie year. If it wasn't for one bad defensive lap.
Yeah. And I just think they should pay him. He's been like Sam said, he's been a model citizen for that franchise. Like, you can't be a better guy to represent your franchise.
But you think they're going to pay him?
No, I don't think Jerry Jones is going to pay him. Jerry Jones just don't pay nobody unless you ain't Tony Romo, you ain't getting paid.
I think – and I kind of like that. It's going to put a fire under Dak, and once he proves him wrong, you know, I think he'll pay him then once he has, like, a deep playoff run.
I don't think so. They got Andy Dalton sitting right behind him.
I don't think that's what that was. I don't think Andy Dalton is somebody they're looking to replace Dak Prescott with. I agree. I think evidently one or two things are going to happen. Either Dak's going to get paid from Jerry Jones or – somebody else is going to pay him the money he's looking for.
Exactly.
I think either way, Dak will get paid. But I think it'll come to a point of time if Jerry Jones don't pay him this year, and depending on what happens this year in the season, then somebody else is going to give him the money he's looking for.
Yeah, most definitely. I agree with that. But you're sitting here saying that Andy Dalton isn't a starter, though. Like,
he is.
I think
that's where they got him. It's like, you know, you can't hold out, you know. They're trying to take leverage away from him. It's strictly like you either take our deal or, you know, if you don't want to play with us, we'll play with Andy Dalton.
Mm-hmm. Because we have to remember, Andy Dalton was only signed, I believe, it was just a one-year contract.
Yep. 1 year contract, $3 million.
Yeah. So I think you're right. I think Andy Dalton hire was more of an insurance policy in case Dak decided – that he's going to hold out. But I don't think Dak's going to hold out when they're going to pay him $31 or $32 million on the franchise tag. So I think he'd be a fool to sit out on that.
I don't know, man.
To prove himself. Like, if this season goes bad, you know, whatever, like, the value is asking, he's going to look like a fool. Nobody's going to give him that contract if they go, like, poor and whatever.
Warning. Well, that's my thing, but hasn't he done enough to prove that he deserves that contract, though?
Yeah. You know how the NFL is, man. That once they start a narrative, sometimes.
That's just like Clowney, man. Like, they didn't want to pay. Nobody wants to play Clowney, but he's put up numbers every year, except for the first couple of years he was injured. But he's put up numbers. That's what you
true, want. True. All right, so we had our 2-minute warning. I got a few more questions to ask y'all, then we're going to get. We've been in here about an hour. Hey, let me ask y'all something. Y'all going to NASCAR races soon? Y'all feel welcome to go to NASCAR?
Short answer.
I honestly feel like I might want to go out there. Talladega. Let's go to Dega. Let's go. I think that I literally saw a video today that showed Alvin Kamara going to a NASCAR race. And it's like, yo, they banned the flag. They want us there. They want us there. And I think that, I mean, a lot of people like racing. There's a reason why Gran Turismo is a good game.
That's true.
You know what I'm saying? People love We just weren't going, man, and that's the truth. We weren't going because, I mean, I wouldn't mind going drinking all day, watching cars go in a circle, party, and talking to my friends. Let's do it. We can rent an RV. We can rent an RV and let's do it.
Hey, but I'm gonna say this. I think there's more. I think this. Would I go to a NASCAR race? Yeah, I want to hear the sound of the cars. I think it's a strategy. It's more to it because those cars are actually topped out. The engines are guzzled. So they all have like the same horsepower. It's about what you do to the car. So it's engineering and strategy.
Hmm.
For 500 miles or whatever.
And your team, right? Like, and quickly being on target and, you know, changing things out, right?
Yeah, changing things out, having the right tires, maybe like drafting behind somebody to give the build up speed. It's all kinds of things. There's strategy to it. So definitely, I would love to actually go to a race. To be honest with you,
the whole question is, do y'all feel comfortable? Like, and I know, and I honestly feel like, yeah, they banned the flag, and it wasn't to disrespect their fan base, but the flag is very if you're not white, that flag does not mean the same thing. You know what I'm saying? What that flag means to us is not the same thing that it means to Caucasian American person in the South. So,
well, yeah. Here
we go. So there we go. So now you're including more people to make more revenue to bring more people. You're not being a decisive.
There's been black people in racing for years. I mean, of course. You know,
that's the fan base of black people.
No.
Y'all doesn't have a huge fan base for black people either. But guess who does?
Heck no! I'm going to dispute that, man. I'm really going to dispute that. They said the NASCAR has never had a black fan base. I think it's had.
It doesn't have that big of a black fan base.
It doesn't exist, Dad. I'm just saying it's like not a big fan base. I'm not like a
there's more of a bigger soccer fan base of African American people than there are fucking NASCAR.
I don't have no numbers on it, but I just feel like this is not necessarily true.
Maybe they grew out. Maybe there were NASCAR fans and they grew out, or
I think because like
I'm just saying, there's not that many black people going to NASCAR events where we have to look at that fucking flag getting raised in our face right next to it.
No.
You said at Mississippi State. I've seen that flag everywhere in Mississippi State football game. Right? Or
I didn't see it that much.
Never seen that flag at a state game.
I haven't seen that flag at a state game.
You must have had a different experience. A
different experience, bro. Like MSU was a blessing.
Yeah, I'm about to say.
But like I'm saying, like, have you seen on somebody's truck or maybe not as prominent, but I've seen it around campus.
I haven't.
At all?
Yeah.
Other than a state flag.
The one thing I will say about the whole banning of the flag, I do feel like they should have made some type of – because it literally – like, let's be honest. They didn't have that many black – they don't have that many black fans. They have majority white fans who love that flag. I really feel like – I don't know. I want to know what their strategy was. But also know that what they said in their statement was that they don't want something that was so divisive, you know, that is going to divide their fan base, and want to welcome more fans, and they felt like the flag wouldn't welcome more fans. Well, they want it based off of racism.
Well, I think to your point, DC, I think there's been an awakening in white America about racism and what we as minorities go through on a day-to-day basis lately. It's taken them a long while to get there, but they're awakening to the things that's happening. As far as NASCAR taking it out, man, that's about as down home Southern as you can get on anything.
Yeah, that's a big change in a way. It's surprising. They didn't have to do it because, like, you know,
they only got one black driver, right?
This is my other point. There are employees that work for those teams that are black. I guarantee you.
You're right. You're definitely right.
There's some black mechanics. You know, there's some black – there's a girl that's a black girl that's a crew member for one of the teams. I can't remember. But, like, it's hard to get to those positions. But I think it does open it up, NASCAR, to, like, being friendly, seen as not just as – I guess, like, we see it as just a white sport, but, like, as a American sport, I guess, so I want to say here or something like that.
Who will y'all be rooting for?
Eminem car.
Bubba Watson. What's his name?
Eminem car.
Yeah. Hey, look, man. I'm just because I think
maybe that was what they did. Maybe that's what they did. I mean, because if you think about the PGA Tour, a lot of black people only watch it to watch Tiger Woods. You know what I'm saying?
I'm not just gonna say white black folks. It's a lot of everybody just watched.
Yeah.
Tiger Woods.
But a lot of black people are watching. I'm saying specifically, I'm watching to see how good Tiger does. I know no one else in the PGA Tour. I do now that I'm older and I've been watching it a little bit. But yeah. Growing up, I only knew Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods was the inspiration of everyone. Maybe that what they're trying to do is have Bubba Wallace be the new Tiger Woods for NASCAR.
Yeah, DC, the strengthening your point. The reason since Tiger Woods has joined the PGA Tour, the number of black people who play golf and participants in the PGA Tour and also just collegiate level has gone up a lot since Tiger Woods had joined it. So I think from a NASCAR standpoint, it's a really smart strategy to remove that flag to bring in a new fan base, sort of say. So it's like – what would happen eventually, it's like baseball. I think baseball used to be called the American pastime, and it used to be the most popular sport in America up until, I think, maybe around the 60s and 70s when the NBA and the NFL took more of a stride in becoming the more popular sports in America, and that's because of its diversity, because baseball was slow to the pitch in diversifying its sport.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, now look at baseball. If you ain't from the Dominican, you ain't plugging. You know what I'm saying?
But that's another that's a disparity in, like, I think baseball too far is black people. I'm not saying like not Afro Latino brothers, but as far as like African American, there's very little representation there for us besides the our Afro Latino brothers.
Yeah.
Dang, what are you doing, bro?
Honda, you gotta learn how to mute that mic, man.
I know. Heard our podcast, bro. Stop.
Man, is you taking a leak during a podcast, dog?
Oh, no. I was washing my hands.
Man, mute your phone. No. Jesus.
Yeah, it's muted now. All right, final words, man. Anybody got any final words? We're going to take the last 10 minutes of this whole thing. And y'all final words?
All right, so this is our – I guess I'll start off. This is our first podcast. I think it was pretty interesting. But on another note, pay my boy Dak. He needs his money. shout out to the Awakening of America. And may we continue to change and strive for better, bro.
Sam?
Yeah, Shad, I'm going to echo you, man. Yeah, you know, it's been a really good talk. I think talking about sports and politics is definitely in its role in politics a little bit has been really interesting, has been an interesting conversation. Yeah, shout out to the Awakening of America. And you're right, man, we just got to keep pushing forward by doing the right things. Go vote and hold your politicians accountable. Go to town hall meetings.
Sanjay, are you off mute?
Educate yourself.
Yeah, I'm good.
You have anything to say?
Well, my prediction's going to be Dak's going to win the Super Bowl. LeBron's going to win the championship. And I think this awakening is a good thing. I think it's going to change America. Or it's going to be the first step for a long, you know, a lot of change coming forward in the coming years.
For me, I'm grateful for this whole opportunity. We've been wanting to do this for a while. Thanks, Sanjay. This has been a great experience. I do love that we started this whole, and this is the first episode, but the times aren't really like for just all of us only talking about sports. You know what I'm saying? So as much as I didn't want to start this off such a serious conversation, I mean, we had an obligation to start it off seriously. You know what I'm saying? We had an obligation to you know, discuss what's going on as four men of color. Well, three men of color and Sanjay. No. Yeah, but I'm really grateful.
I think I'm definitely color, maybe not as dark.
I think you're darker than
dark in DC. Darker than DC.
So. Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm definitely more color than you, DC. And you're more white than me, too, DC. So you're the...
What? The what?
Infidel.
It's not that you literally look like the little kid off of... look at Sanjay's hat right now. He's like this. Oh man. But man, I wouldn't want to do any other guys. I really appreciate y'all. All the people that are listening, thank y'all for tuning in. We will try to have a weekly episode, or at least bi-weekly, for you guys. My name is Eric, a.k.a. DC. We have my friend Sam. Sam, say what up.
What up, guys?
Shadrick Greer.
The one and only.
Sanjay Rajput, or as we call him, Jeezy. Sanjay. And it's been four quarters. All right.
So
thank y'all for taking your time out and listening. If you got any messages, you can just send us a message at four quarters on Instagram. We will also have our email and everything posted on there.
Yo, we got a Twitter too, bro.
We do have a Twitter. You're right. So if you want to start some conversations and you want to send some topics for us to talk about the next podcast or the next few podcasts, please feel free to do it.